We can start the recording. So hi guys, welcome. And I don't think today we have some new guys in our call. So we can skip to the introductions to the new people to the call. And directly we can start with subgroups. Like today we will discuss about like what we can do with the subgroups. Sunny is not here, so let me give you some introductions like what we did in the last call. So first of all, we discussed about the names as well. Bilal, you also suggested us that we should see the name for this thing, right? So this is what I also wrote today, mail to the Sunny as well and to the SIG members as well, that we can name to this. If we can name, we have three options for this. Either we can do this like inter-carrier settlement or CDR, or as you suggested, we can put wholesale part as well. So what your suggestion on this? That what I think is that inter-carrier settlement is like a superset for the CDR. Maybe Aman can also add if you want. Like, what do you guys think? I think that CDR is a subset for inter-carrier settlement, once we go for the wholesale part, maybe it's like a marketplace, and then we can add stuff like TM Forum is doing, like blockchain-based telecom infrastructure marketplace, which is like more about marketplace kind of stuff. Maybe Bilal, what do you think on this?
I think billing and settlement is very safe and generic, and you can put a lot of stuff under it.
Yeah, and I'll also vote for the settlement fund. CDR is good, but it's very specific to call data records. But inter-carrier settlements or inter-operator settlements or just billing and settlements sounds more generic and can be justified in different use cases.
I also want to add, like, can we add SLA management in the same concept? Is it possible? What do you guys think on this? Can we add
I think SLA, especially from what was done in TM Forum, is again the reason they kept their demo very generic, because SLA is something that can be applied almost everywhere. I mean, in wherever there's a vendor or provide a vendor kind of relationship, this can be easily applied. Any agreements between different parties working together has some kind of SLA. So this is a use case that can be embedded everywhere. So I think it can be combined in as part of the settlement process as well. But I think as a use case, it should be kept separate.
Okay, thanks.
But that's just me. I mean.
Yeah.
No, I agree. I mean, settlement, billing and settlement and SLA should be separate.
Okay. And what about marketplace? Like, you want to add wholesale stuff, and can we add like into the CDR use case? Like, can we have, like, what I was reading is PCCW Global is doing one POC on this, like, blockchain powered inter-carrier orchestration, in which they have a marketplace kind of stuff. And inside, like, they are using CDR kind of things. So can we use this kind of things as well?
I mean, the notion of a wholesale, I think, can also be a subset of billing and settlements, right? Because it is a financial transaction in the end. You have a market and you have buyers and sellers, and they agree on a price, they execute.
So this wholesale part is like a marketplace, right? Is it? Bilal? I think his voice is not.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you now.
Okay. So what I was saying, wholesale, marketplace is more generic than wholesale, but marketplace itself could be a subset or under billing and settlement.
Okay, so we should come up with a name instead of CDR. We can put it in an inter-carrier settlement, and And what about inter-career orchestration part? Like, because I want to introduce orchestration as well, because of like, we have to add some networking stuff as well. It will be good. Like we can, if we can show something which is related to, because we can add ONAP stuff or something on this, and we can, when we can think of it, like how we can use these kind of things in the real networking as well.
So orchestration means different things. Are we talking about multiple carriers participating in delivering a service? For example, let's take location services. If I am roaming and my home carrier wants to know my visited network location to execute some logic in an application I subscribed in, then my home carrier will request my location from the visited carrier, right? So that is orchestration. It does have some financial or settlement implications, but the actual service delivery, the orchestration of the delivery of my location information, is separate than the financial settlement. So I would leave orchestration outside the billing and settlement. It's a different whole world.
Mm-hmm. Right. I think the orchestration use case applies to when operator or service providers working with multiple partners who are playing a role in the service being provisioned. Like if a operator is provisioning a service that requires different virtual components or even physical hardware coming from different providers. So in that scenario, that kind of use case applies. That one might not always be between operators.
And multiple operators. Yeah, so if we add like, if we talk about CDR, so means, of course, it is a lot of like three or four, whatever operators. And if we are talking about marketplace as well, then we require some kind of mechanism to solve these things. Like blockchain cannot send everything to the blockchain. Instead of that, we can add not orchestration, then we can add an engine or something where these requests is taken care of, and then only important information we can send it to the blockchain, so that scalability problem also not arise.
Yes.
So we will rename to the inter-carrier settlements. Are you guys agree with this so that we can change all the things?
Now, someone mentioned in the email this morning that we may apply this to IoT and machine learning and other stuff outside the carrier space. Is that true?
It depends if you look at it into a different way. For example, means if you are adding, let's say, one engine, then we can apply everything into this engine. For example, AI, we can apply, means I didn't send this mail, but I can imagine in this way that I can apply AI on that engine so that what we have to send on the blockchain, it should be like, or it can be managed in a better way. And IoT means if below to this layer, let's say, if we have, instead of like, it's all sensors, right? Means if data come from the SDN controller or from the some IoT device, it depends. I'm not sure about this, who sent this, but for the machine learning part, I can think of it, but IoT, I'm not sure. But maybe Aman can tell you. Like, Aman, you showed me some POC during ONS, right? On this. Yeah. Could you tell us more about this? That can we use IoT in this scenario?
So what we did was we showed how we are using blockchain to manage the life cycle of IoT device. So we integrated our own IoT platform layer with blockchains. Basically, when you get a device from a supplier or some manufacturer, from that point to the point it's deployed in a customer premise, and then any events that happening with the IoT device are being tracked by blockchain. So that includes covering the security breaches and configuration changes of the device. So we track that and all the events that are being shared by IoT device, we manage that, and we manage any tampering or any authorized or unauthorized configuration changes on the IoT device.
But there's no billing involved, right? There's no billing involved.
There is, but it's not billing. It's not at just for one device, right? It's at the service level. So right. A service, we integrated a third party billing tool in that POC that we did, and then that was more at a service level, not just for a particular device.
So why don't we call it service provider settlements instead of carrier? So that would be more generic, and you can have different ecosystem participants, whether they are carriers or not.
Yeah, this is like, agree means it can be like applied to the smaller systems as well. Like if it right. is not carrier, then we can of course mimic to the different use cases, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, one scenario, like you have a lot of hotel chains and restaurants, where carriers deploy their Wi-Fi hotspots, right? And there is some financial arrangement between hotels, restaurants, bookstores, and all like really retail and shopping malls, and sometimes cities. So in the pure sense of a service provider, a city or a shopping mall or a restaurant can participate in this ecosystem, but they are not carriers.
Yeah, but I'm not sure that how many nodes we can have to settle these things, right? Because there's a limitation of to add these number of nodes as well, right? I hope so. I mean, that's why it shows in the bigger picture, like carrier can be a one node where we can maintain the blockchain. And if you start pushing it to the like smaller things, and then I'm not sure that how many number of nodes we can accommodate.
So that's a good point. Maybe we should not try to boil the ocean at this point and really focus on carrier settlement, right?
Yeah.
And then we can generalize. So that's a good point. So maybe let's just keep it inter-carrier settlement, and that's it.
Yeah, but I want to add one more point that what in my understanding that like in MWC also in ONS also I saw two or three POCs which are actually operators are doing on this, and even Ethereum Forum is also looking into this, which is exciting for me as well. Like it's a marketplace which we can add, that Bilal also said, like wholesale stuff means it will increase our scope, right? If we can add two or three things in the CDR or intercarrier settlement, like a marketplace or wholesale things, and if we can add some engine, means where we can take some decisions, like what we should send to the blockchain, so that it should be a viable solution. It should not be like this, that if we have like thousands or millions of transactions per day, then we cannot store it on the blockchain, right? So we have to take decisions as well, what we have to send to the blockchain or not, right? What do you think on this, that marketplace is a good thing to add or not, like wholesale marketplace? Because this will increase the scope of this white paper, and then we can show that, okay, this is the new things that we are adding. Because in that case, we can add networking, we can add OPNFV or something, which we can say we are instantiating something, we are calling some SGN controllers, we can add in that case, maybe. I'm not sure.
So this is something to add to the scope, or we're talking about the name?
It's a name as well, like inter-carrier settlement, and means mark. Can we add marketplace or wholesale something in the name itself, so that it will show the it will increase the scope of the white paper?
I don't know. Personally, adding wholesale to settlement is kind of really skew it in a certain direction. If you would like to add it to the scope, my suggestion is we're going to do some sort of a roadmap, and we focus, as we said before, on the low-hanging fruits that we can deliver something quickly. And then in the roadmap, we're going to do like phase two, probably wholesale, phase three, something else.
Yeah, this is good. Yeah, maybe we can have a roadmap where in the first stage, we will see CDR, I hope, and then we can see wholesale and then maybe IoT as well. Why not?
Yeah.
Yeah, this is good point. So I will write these things and this is good points. And I will share the agent MOM as well for this. And we can start a white paper as well. I think in this call, we have three names in, like Aman, Bilal, Nima. You also put your name in CDR, right? I hope so.
I didn't really put for CDR because it was not that much interesting for me at the beginning, but now that it's the idea of marketplace and these sort of things are being introduced, I'm a bit now interested because it's kind of coordinated with what I'm doing currently.
Could you tell us what you are doing? Like, if
well, I'm not sure how much of the details I can go into, but essentially, we're looking into some interoperator infrastructure sharing and kind of using blockchain as a trust platform to for the settlements between these operators. So there's SDN, there's virtualization. Essentially, these are virtual network operators. But I can talk about it a bit more later. But this is what I'm doing. But this is more in the academic side of the work. So I'm mainly just looking into like developing a proof of concept now and doing some performance measurement with Caliper and so on. So this is mainly what I'm focusing on now.
Yeah, this is cool. Like, because in this part also, we want to add something related to SDN so that we can send some carrier information from SDN controller to something, for example, marketplace where all the decisions can be taken. And then we can instantiate all these SDN controllers that, okay, you have, because I'm not sure that how CDR actual works, because when we are talking about settlements, then of course, like, we need some KPIs as well, means some QoS parameters. Like if I'm saying that, okay, let's XYZ operator is giving me this kind of QoS and if it is not fulfilling it, then how this money should be cut out from this operator. So maybe someone can tell me more about this, how actual this CDR internally works. Maybe Bilal or Aman.
Sorry, what was the question again?
So question is like, in CDR use case, like what actually happens when, let's say, if one operator is saying, okay, I'm giving my resource for roaming, let's say. And is there any KPIs or QoS related to this, and how you measure in the real world these things? Like, is this KPI is fulfilled or not, so that I should pay to this operator or not? How these decisions take place?
I can try and explain first. Based and this what I'm giving example is based on what was shown at TM forum. There have been other variations of how this can be implemented as well. But based on what was shown at TM forum, basically means that instead of having operators to depend on clearinghouses, they work together directly with each other based on this platform that is created by blockchain. So as the usage is being recorded by operators, CDRs are processed in batches between the operators, and based on the smart contract, the amount or whatever billing is calculated between the operators and is again cleared out directly between the operators. So all it's doing is it's making the process of CDR generation and processing more instantaneous and without any dependency on a middle man or clearinghouse. So that, and that's the gist of it.
So this is,
it doesn't mean that each and every network usage to the detail of a text or a VoIP call or something has to go through blockchain. No, it still integrate with the existing telecom nodes. It's just that CDR data is processed in batches directly based on the smart contract.
This is my doubt. Like in the case of third party will put their monitoring softwares, KPI software on these telecom nodes, and then they can show, okay, this is the, like, is this node is fulfilled this QoS KPIs or not, right? But if these telecom operators don't have these third party, instead of that they have blockchain. Mm-hmm. Anyhow, there's a mechanism needed at the telecom side that is this KPI or QoS is fulfilled or not. Like, who will take this decision? Like, smart contract cannot. Of course, they need some mechanism to fulfill these things, right?
Mm-hmm. So in the TKM forum demo, they just focused on having this platform to remove friction in roaming settlements or automating the process of CDR based settlements. They didn't really pointed to if there should be any SLA in that CDR settlement or not. They didn't point it to that. That's a separate thing.
But I'm not sure that in the real world how these things can be implemented. Means I'm just curious to know that. Means, of course, let's say if we are removing something, but then we should add something into this system so that we can make them transparent, make them really, really independent to everything. And SLA mm-hmm. is just triggering points, right? Oh, sorry, a smart contract just a triggering point. Like, if something happened, then we can trigger smart contract, and then we can send the transaction to the blockchain. But in the real time, let's assume these things in the real time, and then let's say there's a real teleco operator which can ask, like, if let's say if you write some white paper, then of course any top telecom operator can ask these questions to us, like, okay, what do you think in the like what we should at our side so that we can say, okay, this is the thing, right? This is the transaction. How this transaction can be trustable? Means if I'm saying I'm giving this service, I'm giving this service, or just I'm saying this service? Because blockchain, I'm just sending this information that, okay, this is my transaction, this is my bill. But who will verify this bill now? Because there's no third party, and smart contract cannot do that.
Well, this is not a blockchain issue. This is a telecom to telecom network kind of testing for quality of service. When we talk about quality of service, it's either on the voice side or the data side today, right? So on the voice side, almost all digital networks perform end-to-end circuit testing over the SS7 network. It's been a while when I worked on this stuff, really long time ago. I don't know if they store the status of the circuit in the CDR, and that's reported when they exchange CDRs. I really don't know. But this is really, how do you expose quality of service parameters from a network to another network? And it really is not a...
Because telcos will ask questions, right? For example, yes, they can use blockchain for sure. Means how this blockchain should trust whether this data is correct or not. Means previous to that, yes, there's a third party, but now there's no third party to verify this kind of things, right? And of course, like at the POC level, I'm fine. Like, if I'm sending some transaction, I'm storing this on the blockchain. At the POC level, I'm agree with this concept. But in the real world, let's say, yeah.
My approach would be, before we get into the blockchain implementation, we need to baseline what happens today without the blockchain. So we need to map the use case end to end as it happens today. Then we need to take this and map it into a blockchain implementation and see how we can achieve the same results with fewer touch points and friction points, right? That's the whole promise of blockchain. So we need an operator. That's why I kept saying we need at least two or three telecom operators participating, because they tell us exactly how do they ensure quality of service, how do they communicate amongst themselves about quality of service in relation to SLAs, right? So let's do like a complete flow on the current configuration.
We can assume, like, if let's say if we don't have operator, we can assume with this in terms of, let's say, if we have SDN controller at the telecom side, which can take QoS stuff with it, like if this QoS is fulfilled or not, and then I trigger to the smart contract, and then there's a transaction which is stored on the blockchain. So that's what I'm saying. We have to add something like SDN controllers concept as not on the POC, but as a like when we write a white paper, it's not only blockchain. We have to add telecom sites as well. It means maybe Aman can tell us more. Like Aman, from your experience from TM Forum, did you consider these SDN controllers or some telco stuff as well, or just it's transactions on blockchain?
No, at that time there was no SDN controller or anything that was under discussion. It was just focused on how currently in the current world, how the CDR processes how CDRs are being processed based on clearinghouses, and how to improve that with blockchain. As simple as that. It didn't went into a detail. Being very honest, how many telcos which telcos are currently using are already in that phase in which they are using SDN up at a big level between themselves, and how much of a difference will it make if you base everything on SDN controllers rather than traditional nodes. So, and I mean, I'm just asking that. What's the value? I'm just trying to understand which is the key part that we are trying to focus with the use case that we are coming up with. Because there could be a bigger picture that, okay, you're applying blockchain between operators that can cover so many different business functionalities or transactions between the operators. Or we can pinpoint onto specific areas like CDR or roaming settlement is one. And then operators working together, sharing a virtual environment or sharing infrastructure could be one. So these are different things.
I agree with this that we are increasing our scope, but this is just a discussion. I want to understand that because mm-hmm. in my opinion that blockchain is just we are sending something to a blockchain, storing something. This is a different use case, right? That's what TM Forum is talking about. But this is what I'm talking about is like, can we add real value into this in terms of telcos, like in the real world, how we can do this? I mean, just a discussion, not in that way, but maybe I'm also want to understand these things, that how actual things work. But of mm-hmm. course, in the when we put this white paper into some telcos, they will definitely ask us some questions. For example, let's take the example of TM Forum CDR use case, right? Mm-hmm. Where we are saying that there's a transaction generated and we are storing this transaction on the blockchain, right? Maybe mm-hmm. Who will trust this transaction means in terms of whether this transaction generated by telco operator is it correct or not. Means mm-hmm. who will verify these things.
So let me make sure that I understand it correctly. You're saying that, for example, operator A says that operator A generates CDRs, or let's say 1,000 CDRs worth just, let's say, $100,000, right? That, okay, these are the CDRs that are generated, and I, for some other operators that you all have used my network, so these are the CDRs I'm generating. And then it goes through that blockchain layer or chain code that we have deployed, or the platform based on blockchain that we have deployed. So you're saying that other operators are not going to trust whatever CDR data is being sent by operator A. Is that what you mean?
This is my question. Instead of $1,000 bill, I can say it's a $10,000 bill. Means.
So then
other
how
operators
it,
should trust.
Yeah. So then, how it is being trusted today? When I mean, even today, an operator node is collecting that data and sending it out to a clearinghouse, right?
Yeah, in this case, everyone is trusting this third party clearinghouse, right? So there's a trust of this clear third party, but we are removing this third party and saying we are introducing the concept of blockchain.
Yeah.
Then in that case, telco will ask, okay, previously we are trusting someone, but in the blockchain, we are missing one important part. We are storing transaction, that's fine. Instead of $1,000 bill, if I say $10,000 bill, then this can we solve this $10,000 problem as well? Means if someone changed this data, then who will trust, like other telco operator, how they will trust?
And where will this data be changed?
So data will be changed by the operator itself. Instead of generating $1,000 bill, it can say, okay, this is $2,000 bill. Maybe I'm not wrong. This is what I also want.
So how it's supposed to be is it should come directly from that charging node from one telecom. I'm just explaining how I picture this to be integrated into the telecom network, that each operator's node is sharing that data onto the blockchain layer. So, and that has to be here, yeah.
So this is like Nima introduced this concept of like what he's telling something. I also checked it with other operators that what they are doing is, what they do is in the telecom operator node, they stored blockchain as well, and they talk with everything with the SDN controller. And what they do is send this SDN controller information to the marketplace. What they do at the marketplace, they do everything, for example, calculations and all these things. So every telecom operators talk to one central entity, let's say something, marketplace or whatever. Then what they do is they stored everything, every information of this marketplace to the blockchain, and every telco operator also takes part in like storing this replicate this blockchain to their node as well, so that they can trust. Means previously there's a central entity which they trust, and now this central entity can be like their own or some third party or something. Means maybe I'm wrong, I'm not sure, but this is what I also want to understand, that because I was reading that PM forum stuff and I was so confused. That means in the real world, if I put this in the real world telco, they will definitely ask more questions, right? For example, what happened, where should we trust now? We are adding one trust, but we are missing one more trust, maybe something like
that. So, Vipin, I think we need to go back to the basics. In blockchain, data veracity and integrity is guaranteed by the consensus model, right? You have witnesses. Right. So that's for like a cryptocurrency thing. Can we come up, maybe think around those lines, what kind of consensus model we should put in place for telecom operators to be witnesses, because they are nodes on that network, on that transaction, and then there will be a mechanism to verify and validate the transaction. So somebody a node verifies, and then everybody validates, right? So I don't have the algorithm, But I think intuitively, we're talking about blockchain, and this is one of the main features of blockchain, is the fact it is immutable because you have multiple witnesses witnessing the transaction. So I think that is an area of innovation. If we can crack it, that would be a value add, because you cut down on all these third parties and everybody trusts the data.
And Bilal, if we start validating every record, like see every data record, then it's like it's a,
as well, Sunny I'm not said, talking about proof of work. Not a proof of work.
Not even proof of work. Like if we use BFT or PBFT or whatever, it will take like, we cannot accommodate 1 billion transactions per day. Of course not. Any consensus can't do this.
Well, there are multiple kind of new algorithms for this. I mean, proof of stake, proof of elapsed time or whatever. I think
still proof would of not stake is possible. Like, believe me, like it's a private system. So in the private system, we have to use PBFT, BFT or something, Raft or something. Mm-hmm. If we are using such things, then because we need elections, leaders and all these things. And then in that case, max to max for now is like 30,000 transactions per second, max to max means otherwise 20,000 is the max. On the real world, it's just 3,000. So we cannot verify every transaction. But let it be. I mean, it's just a thought, like what I was thinking that before renaming to this subgroup means we can rename it to the proper way so that it should be, we should have all should have same goals. And if some telco operators will ask some questions, we should prepare at least means what is our thinking on this, right?
Definitely.
Yeah. So we will rename to this maybe inter-carrier settlement for now, and then we can have a subgroup calls as well. Oh, before that, we have Pete as well with us. Pete, would you like to introduce, like, what is your plan for SLA stuff?
Yeah, I'm currently rewriting the white paper. I'm also using it as an intro for a coming meetup at Tech Week here in New Zealand. On the 24th of May. I think it's important that we make a decision on where to host this thing and if we can use the IBM environment, you know, maybe Bluemix to actively, you know, get behind the scenes and, you know, work with the setup and have something real online so that we can, you know, expand on it and maybe add an additional functionality. It's still the thing that's currently accessible is pretty much the version that was live at TM Forum, but it would be nice if I would say for everybody to be able to log in and just work on this thing and maybe contribute some smart contracts to the SLA.
David, can you tell us, like, although I have I got some access from Linux Foundation, but this is again, it is like 512 GB of memory for 1 week, but yes, we require this kind of infrastructure for a long period of time, maybe 2 months or something. So can we arrange, or even we need IBM, if it will be great if we can get IBM Bluemix kind of stuff. David?
I mean, that's a question we can reach out to. I mean, if you want to reach out to them, we certainly can.
Okay. We get something from Linux Foundation, but again, I don't think we can get it from like 2-3 weeks more than, because it's a 512 GB of memory, which is, I don't think they can give it to us for a 2-3 months of period of time. And that's what Pete suggested, that can we get something on IBM Bluemix? It will be great. Because they have blockchain as a service, which we can use fast. So let's talk about this offline and let's see if we can do this. Meanwhile, Aman, did you get this Hyperledger Lab stuff, or still you need some help on that?
So, oh yeah, I did got the email from David, and thanks for that. I looked at it, so it's like I have to clone and then upload in the same format. Is that right?
For the labs.
Yeah. For the lab. So I have, like, it has. Do you want me to just upload the BNA file, or do you want me to extract the content of BNA file and then upload it?
That's a good question. I'm not probably the right one on staff to answer that question. One of the community architects can. If you want to email, if you want to write me back on that thread that we have going, I'll loop the right person in, and we can ask them.
Okay. Or, I mean, I can do both. I can even extract the BNA file and then upload it, and upload the BNA file as part of that repo as well. I don't mind doing that.
This is good. If you can do that, like upload the DNA, of course we can extract it if it's up to us.
Yeah, the only, I mean, if I'm also required to write README files and all that, then that will be an extra work. But if it's just simple,
that we can do.
Okay, then it won't be a big thing. I probably. Tomorrow, I'll can find some time and do that, and I'll email Vipin, you and David, you that once it's done, so you can take the
thank
rest
you so
of
much.
The.
All right, perfect, yeah. Great,
thank you. So this is like this is in our agenda as well, development update. So yeah, Aman can send us two BNA files. One is for CDR and one is for SLA, right?
Yeah.
And then Pete, or what you want to say on like. Should we start our call, or because in CDR sub call we have only three people. We had only three people on the call. So would you like to start SLA now, or first we should write something, or then we should call for subgroups calls?
Yeah, I think we should first look at that white paper until we've got a clear direction where we go. You know, are we going to expand on what we have, or you know, I would prefer not to reinvent the wheel on this one. And somebody earlier mentioned, you know, go for the low hanging fruit. I think that's important. So I hope to be able to contribute to that white paper in the next week. Been a bit busy, but as long as we've got the discussion going, we can see, you know, when it's needed to schedule another call. I'd rather have it part of this call for me, because it's so early on Friday morning in New Zealand, it works best on a Friday like this. But yeah, that's up for the discussion.
Or even we can start on Rocket Chat as well, if you want. Like, we can start discussion on these things as well.
Yeah, I mean, for other projects, I work a lot with Slack and stuff, and I think it's useful. Zoom is great, by the way. But especially when we start to really develop something, Rocket Chat will fit. Yep.
Yeah, that would be great. Even Bilal, what you suggest, that we should continue our subgroup calls, or we should have one call for now because we have very less turnout on our calls, subcall.
Yeah, I mean, if we don't have a quorum to hold a subgroup call, then we might as well just do it on this call.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry I missed the call. I mean, it was like some confusion in my calendar. I did not realize the time.
That's fine. Yeah. Initially, I was also confused, like when it was. So for subgroup calls for now, what we will do is we will continue our bi-weekly calls, and then if we need subgroup calls, we can start with this, or other ways we can do, like if we first start writing something on white paper stuff, and then we can start subgroup calls bi-weekly as well. So it all depends on us. And the last topic, very important topic for now, is we have Open Networking Summit in Europe, and we have a deadline of submitting our proposal up to, I think, June 16th. So what we are thinking is that, can we apply as a SIG? We can do one thing, we can write meanwhile a white paper or something, proposal for ONS, and then we can submit it to this CFP, call for proposal, and And if it is selected, why not? Like, it's a good opportunity to connect with a lot of carriers. Like, as you know, that ONS is a big event in terms of networking, like Linux Foundation networking, host, all these things. So what do you suggest that we should apply to this, and we should submit one, at least two proposals, one for the CDR, one for the SLA or something. And then we can represent Hyperledger Telecom SIG in ONS.
When did you say the deadline is? June 14th?
16th.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So a little over a month. Well, if we manage to get our white paper by then, we might as well submit it, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's a good deadline for us to have it done.
Yeah, this is like a good deadline. Then we can, means it's a good motivation then to finish things. Yeah. And Pete, what do you think for the SLA? Is it possible?
Sorry, I missed that. What was the proposal or date?
So we have, like, in Linux Foundation organized one event called Open Networking Summit. I hope you know this. And they opened their CFP, call for proposal, and the deadline is June 16th. And we can apply for maybe CDR and SLA both. And then is it possible? Yeah. Like, what do you think? Is it possible for us to write something on SLA up to June 16th?
Yeah, it's a good, you know, it's a good kind of, incentive to have that kind of pressure to deliver. Obviously, with Tech Week coming up, I'm really focused on this topic. So I think now is a great time.
So yeah, even it's a good opportunity for us to spread some word on telecom SIG and to connect with a lot of operators, as we need operators.
Yeah.
And it's a good opportunity that if we represent something in ONS, it will be great.
Yeah, maybe we can take this offline, and so I get that info, and I can, you know, maybe do some PR for it here in New Zealand as well, and see if we can get some telcos interested.
Sure, thanks. So I think we completed all our agenda, and if someone wants to introduce something, it's open for us.
So one question, Vipin, before we disconnect, for the carrier settlement paper.
Mm-hmm.
We need to divvy up the work. So who signed up to write what section? That is something we need to agree on.
So I will write on this marketplace and how I can add SDN controller things and all these things to it. Means as the telco stuff in this use case. So I can write all these things, and I think Aman will send us code so that we can see some stuff. And Sunny is also here, and you was missed in the last call, and you are left with your work. So you can tell us what you want to do.
So, I mean, I can take the write-up I initially did for the settlement, inter-carrier settlement, and kind of fit it into the template that Bobby shared with us.
Yeah, it was good write-up. Why not?
Yeah, so we can use it. It's there. Yeah.
Yeah,
and from that intro, probably we can kind of agree on the deliverables, the roadmap, and for each deliverable, one of us should take a stab at drafting it.
Yep. That's good. And Aman, you will share us a code up to tomorrow, maybe. Yes.
Yeah, I'll try for tomorrow. Yes, and I'll shoot an email when I'm able to do that.
Sure, thanks.
Yeah. Hi, it's Bobby.
Yeah, Bob.
I'm going to add a Google Drive. That was just like the outline. I'm going to add a link on each one of the subcategories under white paper for the template, so everybody can edit at the same time that template.
Oh, that would be great. Thank you.
So I'll do that as soon as I log into my computer.
Thanks, Bobby.
No worries.
Nima, you want to add something if you want? If you can, if you have time.
Hey, so yeah, for the SLA, I can help with writing the white paper, and also I guess last time the people from IBM said that we cannot use the screenshots from the front end they had. So I can probably try with the composer. If I get the BNA files, I can try to maybe make an Angular kind of app for the, like a web app for screenshot purposes and demo purposes and so on, for the SLA use case, I mean. And about the writing, like for the SLA writing, I guess it would be good if we can kind of divide the work. So if I'm told like which parts we actually, because I guess we need some information from the IBM and TM forum people to know what exactly they've done and what we are adding to that and how much we want to do like telecom description of the work, and then how much blockchain.
Yeah, that's a good point. Aman, can we share this slides you shared with us? Is it possible from TM forum?
Yeah, I can do that. I think we had the discussion with the TM forum team in our last call. So yeah, I can share that.
That will be great. So Nima, you will get a lot of information that what actually they did from this presentation.
And I was not really talking about the presentation. So if you go to the SLA white paper currently, there are some screenshots from the web application they developed for the SLA. And they just told us that we cannot use those screenshots because of the intellectual property and so on. So I was thinking I can maybe help with generating new ones.
Great, thanks for offering the help for that. I don't know, Vipin, are you still on? It seems to have gone quiet for a second. We may have lost Vipin.
Yeah, looks like it.
Any other comments, questions in the last couple minutes?
Okay.
Actually, David, I think I had a question for Vipin, but he's not on. On the how the demo, he was playing with the lab as a service. I was wondering for follow up on that, how that worked out.
Yeah, he just pinged me. Unfortunately, his phone sounds like he had phone problems.
We can follow up offline for that. Yeah.
Okay. Great. Okay. Any other comments or questions in the last couple of minutes? All right. Well, this felt like a good call. Thank you, everyone. I will post the recording and share it around for anybody who wasn't able to join. And again, feel free to make use of the mailing list in the meantime before we have our next call if you have questions, comments, suggestions. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thanks, David.